friends. This is Harry Venton with you again. And it's my pleasure on behalf of the Voices of Melody Victoria to welcome you all to another presentation of Times of Refreshing. It is most encouraging to know that our programs are greatly appreciated by many of our listeners, and we trust our selection of gospel music, together with the meditation we share with you from the Word of God, that it will be uplifting and a blessing in your life today. On our program today, we desire to share thoughts with you from the 12th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. In verses 38 to 42, we find the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious rulers of that day, confronting our Lord Jesus with questions, challenging his authority, and requesting that he give them a sign to verify and prove who he was. Listen, friends, as I read these few verses. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees said, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." The Queen of the South, that is, the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Friends, after we listen to our first recording, we will center our devotion on the last phrase of our scripture reading, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here."
O Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and by thy will they exist and were created.
All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Much is said in the Old Testament scriptures of the greatness of Solomon. So the scribes and the Pharisees, being familiar with the Old Testament, would be well aware of his greatness when Jesus gave them the sign of Solomon. They obviously accepted without question all that was written concerning Solomon, yet with our Lord Jesus they questioned and challenged his words, his teaching, and his ministry. Friends, you'll notice in this setting of Scripture that I have read to you that there is no recording of the scribes and Pharisees giving answer to what Jesus said to them. Perhaps that is not of any great importance, but what is important and of value for our consideration today are the parallels presented between our Lord Jesus and Solomon. On the one hand, the greatness of Solomon is recognized, and on the other hand, we have one who is greater than Solomon, our Lord Jesus Christ. In sharing some of the parallels with you with their spiritual truths, I am going to use the words more excellent in preference to the word greater, for the words more excellent convey a deeper and truer meaning of what is before us. So we can read our text this way: Behold, a more excellent than Solomon is here. Let's look at the first parallel, where Christ is more excellent. It is in his name. Before Solomon was born, a prophecy surrounded his birth. This is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 9. David, speaking with his son Solomon, sometime after his birth, tells him of the promise and pledge given to David. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Then in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 25 we read, Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine, all the days of Solomon. Now it is interesting to note that Solomon's name means peaceable. So for the 40 years he reigned as king, there was peace throughout the land, for he was not like his father, who was a man of war. Our Lord Jesus is more excellent than Solomon in his name. Before his birth, there was a prophecy given declaring the nation he would belong to, his tribe, his family, and even the town and place where he would be born. Also, prophecy was given as to his name. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. With Solomon, peace enjoyed was of short duration. It was temporal. With our Lord Jesus, his peace is eternal. Its permanence is assured, for he is the Prince of Peace. He came from the glories of heaven to bring peace to us. He went to the cross to make peace for us. Colossians 1 and verse 20. He died to secure peace for us, and in resurrection he proclaimed peace. John 20 verses 19 to 21. As the Prince of Peace, he lives to impart peace to us all. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Behold, a more excellent than Solomon is here. My listening friends, what kind of peace is yours today? Is it a temporal peace? Is it a peace that wavers with uncertainty? Such a peace gives neither confidence nor strength to face life with its many perplexities. Yet, the peace that our Lord Jesus offers to you today is serene, it is sure and steadfast, and the person who trusts in him for salvation, the Bible says, he will keep him in perfect peace. As we continue the parallels between Solomon and our Lord Jesus, we look now at the greatness of Solomon's wisdom. The Bible says that he possessed great wisdom. It was a wisdom which he did not possess in himself, for it was given to him by God as an answer to prayer. When Solomon asked for a wise heart, the Lord said, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." 1 Kings 3 and verse 12. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the wise men of the East, and surpassed all the wisdom of Egypt, which was then at its best. It is expressly stated in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verses 30 and 31 that Solomon was wiser than all men. All nations round about heard of his great wisdom. He was a great poet, for he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He knew and understood God's creation, for he spake of trees from the tall cedars of Lebanon to the small hyssop that grew out of the wall. Beasts, fowls, creeping things and fishes were all known to him. We read of this in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 33. Such wisdom, knowledge and understanding led the Queen of Sheba to undertake a long journey to visit Solomon, and to prove him with hard questions. Satisfied and overwhelmed with astonishment with the answers to all her difficult questions, the Queen of Sheba had this to say: "It was a true report that I heard in mine own country of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." 1 Kings 10 verses 6 and 7. Friends, what does our text say? "Behold, a more excellent than Solomon is here." Yes, our Lord Jesus is more excellent in wisdom, for he is in himself wisdom personified. Proverbs chapter 8 says, "He is wisdom set up from everlasting, who was there when the heavens were prepared." It is the eternal Son of God, called wisdom, who speaks in verse 30. "I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." Even as a young lad growing up, it is recorded in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 that he was filled with wisdom. In wisdom our Lord Jesus was more excellent, for he made known the eternal counsels of the Godhead. He revealed the unseen Father in his attributes. He spoke the words of eternal life, so that even his enemies confessed that never did man speak as he did. Jesus was also more excellent in knowledge. He knew what Solomon did not know, that is, the thoughts of men. He knew every secret, whether it was the plottings of his enemies or the troubles of those who followed him. In riches, our Lord Jesus was more excellent than Solomon as well. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 23, we read that Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches. His acquired wealth exceeded that of every contemporary monarch. Yet Solomon, with all his earthly riches, fades into insignificance before him who is more excellent. For all the wealth of creation belongs to our Lord Jesus, for he is the creator of all things. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 14 it says, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that is in it.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Friends, the concluding thoughts in our devotion today are centered on Solomon's coronation. It is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 1 that David was old and stricken in years, and he knew it was time for his son Solomon to be appointed the new king to reign over the nation Israel. In verse 39 of 1 Kings chapter 1, we read that Solomon was anointed king. Then in verse 12 of chapter 2, it tells us that he sat upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. In chapter 3 and verse 3, it says that Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, and went to a place called Gibeon, and there he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. My dear friends, in acknowledgement of Solomon ascending the throne, we read in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 39 and 40, the people expressed their great joy and surrounded him with their hosannas, saying, God save King Solomon, and attended him with their music and shouts of joy. The sound of their jubilation was so great that the earth was rent. It was split. Now for the parallel to Solomon's coronation, we turn to John's Gospel chapter 19. In this chapter, we read of the more excellent than Solomon, our Lord Jesus, and his coronation. Our Lord's earthly coronation was in the judgment hall called Gabbatha. He was arrayed in royal robes, and a crown was placed on his lovely brow, not a crown of gold, studded with precious stones and lined with velvet. No, it was a crown of thorns. Matthew, in his account of his coronation, says in chapter 27 and verse 29, in his hand he held a reed for a scepter, and the people said, Hail, King of the Jews. our Lord's coronation was without all the pomp and glory of royalty. For him, it was a mock coronation. Solomon, after he was crowned king, went to a place called Gibeon and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Our Lord Jesus, after his crowning as king, went to a place also. It was to Golgotha, or Calvary, and there he offered just one sacrifice. Not 1,000, just one, and that sacrifice was himself. Hebrews 9 and verse 14 says, Jesus offered himself without blemish to God. It was a perfect sacrifice, and God was fully satisfied, for it met all his righteous and holy requirements for the putting away of your sin and mine. And when we exercise a personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, we are saved for time and eternity. Friends, it is of importance that I mention this to you. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross, suffering deep agony and pain under the wrath of God for sin, as he died for you and for me, Matthew tells us in his Gospel, chapter 27, that the earth did quake and the rocks were rent from their places. It was different at Solomon's coronation. When the earth was rent, it was due to the great noise of the people in their jubilation. But when the Lord of all creation, the incarnate Maker, dies for man, his creature's sin, creation is moved to acknowledge the Creator had died. Behold, a more excellent than Solomon is here.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to retain. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
We trust God has spoken to your heart today, and you have been challenged as to your personal relationship to Jesus Christ. He died to be your Savior, so that through faith in him you might have the joy of sins forgiven and the abundant blessing of eternal life. This can be a reality in your life today, just by confessing your sin and inviting the Lord Jesus into your heart and life. Now, as we close our time of fellowship, we remind all our listeners that a copy of this program number 992 is available on cassette, free and postage paid. You may obtain your copy by addressing your request to Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 3140. Be sure when writing to include in your letter this number, 992, program number 992. And the mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 3140. Our broadcast today has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. Thank you, friends, for your company today. Till next we meet, this is Harry Venton for the Voice of Melody team, wishing you God's richest blessing. And remember, keep looking up.